Welcome to episode 27 of the Countryline Songwriter Series, where you'll hear from some of the most successful artists and songwriters working in Nashville today. Country music is all about storytelling, and this is where you'll discover the stories from the people themselves of how they managed to find their way into such a competitive industry and rise to the top, what motivates and inspires them, and what they've learned along the way. Colby Calais's childhood was spent in Malibu and Ventura County with her father, Ken, who famously produced the landmark Fleetwood Mac albums Rumours and Tusk. She took piano lessons as a child, but lacked a significant inspiration. That was until she turned 11 and became enthralled with Lauryn Hill's performance in Sister Act 2. Immediately realizing that she wanted to be a singer, she started taking vocal lessons and soon met Michael Blue, a producer who previously worked with Five for Fighting and Carrie Underwood. Blue hired her to sing on several techno songs that were used in runway models shows, and the two cultivated a professional relationship. At 19, Calais picked up an acoustic guitar, and the two recorded the first song she composed. As the collaboration thickened, Jason Reeves entered the picture and lent his artistic know-how to the songwriter's developing skills. Colby wrote the basic melodies, often composing in her bathroom due to the reverb-heavy acoustics, and then would receive artistic input from Blue and Reeves. She posted several of her finished songs on MySpace, although little response was generated until Calais uploaded a breezy hook-laden track called Bubbly. Rolling Stone highlighted her as one of the top female artists on the networking site. For 4 months, Calais was MySpace's number one unsigned artist, garnering over 14 million plays in the process. With such an appealing statistic on her resume, record labels began courting her, and she signed with Universal Republic. In July of 2007, Calais made her major label debut with Coco, a summertime record suitable for both the coffeehouse and the beach. Bubbly topped the singles charts in several formats, transforming the singer from internet sensation to a mainstream presence. Coco spun off 2 additional singles while climbing to double platinum status, and Calais celebrated her star success by duetting with Jason Mraz, touring with John Mayer, and collaborating with Taylor Swift. 2 years after Coco's release, she returned with her second record, Breakthrough, and scored another top 40 hit with Falling For You. The album went gold and was followed 2 years later by All Of You, another summery collection of pop songs written by the likes of Ryan Tedder, Toby Gad, and Bubbly co-writer Jason Reeves. Brighter Than the Sun was the second single pulled from the album and was the record's biggest hit, topping Billboard's adult contemporary charts. Calais released the holiday album Christmas in the Sand in the fall of 2012. The album reached number 4 on Billboard's top holiday albums and number 41 on the Billboard 200. Calais began work on her next album in 2013 with the first fruit of her labour, Hold On, appearing in November of 2013. An EP called Gypsy Heart Side A showed up in June of 2014, and as the title suggests, it was the first half of then a full-length album called Gypsy Heart, which appeared in September of that year. Produced in part by Babyface, the album was a conscious shift to popular radio-friendly material. The album debuted at 17 on Billboard's Top 200, and its biggest single, Try, peaked at 6 on their adult contemporary chart. Calais parted ways with Republic Records after Gypsy Heart and formed her own label, Plummy Lou, with the intent of releasing the Malibu Sessions. Recorded prior to Gypsy Heart, but rejected by Republic, the Malibu Sessions reconnected Calais to her beachy sound and saw a release in October of 2016. Calais then started another label, Blue Jean Baby, for Along the Way, her 2023 album of contemporary country songs.
The Countryline Songwriter Series with Colby Calais.
Thank you so much for being here. It is so nice to see you.
You too.
Thanks for making time for Countryline. We just came from another event CMT put on that honors women in country music. So talk a little bit about how important it is to support other females in this genre and in all genres of music.
For CMT's Next Women of Country, like, I get to be a mentor this year, and we got to watch all the new incredible female artists, and there's such amazing vocalists and songwriters, and, I think all of us can relate, and you know, not only females, but like majority of women, we feel so much pressure, and there's just so much stress when you're an artist and you have so many things that you have to think about and factor in, and you feel like everyone's like the microscope's on you, and there's judgment. And you know, when I was speaking with a lot of the women today, we all got to share the things we love about it and also the things that we feel insecure about, and yeah, feel like we can, if we share that with each other more and help lift each other up and feel like we're relatable to each other, you don't feel like you're so alone in all of those issues. So, and then, yeah, just getting to support other talent and help them with, you know, the things that I loved in my career and also the things that I wish that I had done differently knowing now.
Yeah. Well, you are an official Nashville resident now.
Yes.
So I know you grew up in California. Talk a little bit about being in Nashville and some of your favorite things about the city.
I've been here 7 years. I've been coming here for most of my career writing and working with a lot of country artists, actually. But I love it here because it's really it's a big city, but it's a small town feel. Everyone's friends, everyone's supportive of each other. Honestly, there's just so much fun stuff to do every single day, and I feel like I like live my life fully here.
Yeah.
And you're around all the same, you know, in the industry, you get to be around all the people that you have similar lifestyles and have everything in common. And so it's just a really wonderful city to live in.
What are some of the differences coming from California? I know there's so much music out there. Do you see any major differences with how the industry works here or the people or any of that?
You know, it's just a smaller town. And in LA, you know, LA is a huge city. And then in California, like I lived outside of the city. So it wasn't like here where if you live outside the city, you can still come in and work with people easily. It's just a different feel. And you don't run into people as easily there because it's so spread out. So I feel like that's the thing I never had during the majority of my career when I lived there, is not being able to like run into people and have that feel where you're working, but you're also like, you're just in it. You're in the lifestyle here. And that's what's so different about Nashville. So I feel like that is what helped me feel better in doing music and making music, and also just like everyday life, seeing people.
There's a real sense of community, I think, between songwriters, artists here that I don't think really does exist anywhere else, and it makes it so special.
It doesn't, yeah.
Do you have the typical singer-songwriter life here where you go in and you write during the day and you do the writing session type thing, or is that something that you just, you know, you kind of are inspired outside of all of that?
No, I don't write anywhere near as often as I should. But I've always done that. I'll go through waves of where I feel like, you know, I live life and then I sit with everything for a bit. And then I have these waves of emotions where I feel like writing and I have something that I want to say. So I think that's what I've done most of my career. And now here in Nashville, I have my, you know, favorite people I love writing with, like Liz Rose and AJ Pruis, who I just did majority of my new album with. And it feels like you're just going and hanging with friends, and it's like a therapy session, but with friends.
I want to talk a little bit about your songwriting, and we're going to get to your album in a second, but what is your creative process? I feel like every single time I sit down to interview somebody, they have a different answer.
Yeah.
How do you get inspired after writing for so many years?
I think that's the thing. That's what I did differently with this new album is I had been writing so much the years before and in my band Gone West, and I just felt so burnt out by having to write and by trying to write so many songs and, you know, get the best ones, which is, it's a smart thing to do because you want to have a lot of options, but it can also stress me out, and I feel like the quality of the songs can lessen in a way. And so for this album, I really wanted to just only write when I had something to say and not force it and not schedule a bunch and write with a ton of people. I felt so much anxiety with that from the past. Yeah. So doing it differently, I felt like created this space for me to write these songs in a totally different headspace, and it felt so freeing to do it this way.
What was the first thing that inspired you to want to write music? Was it a person? Was it a song that you heard on the radio?
I started, like, I've always been a singer. I always loved that. And my parents told me I should learn how to play an instrument. Mm-hmm. And after my first guitar lesson, I was able to play a few chords. And that's when I wrote my first song. And I think I just was writing about myself and about all the worries of teenager, you know, all the stuff in our head. And so that's what inspired me. And then my first album, Coco, a lot of them were, you know, crushes or the ideas of love, you know, not necessarily a person.
Right. Well, I want to talk about your new album because not only is it your seventh solo album, mm-hmm. it's also been released on your own record label.
Yeah.
Which I am just, I'm such an admirer of. I think that's so incredible. So I want to first talk about what have you learned about the record business that maybe you didn't know now that you're on that side of things?
I mean, it's hard work. So, you know, having a label is amazing because they really guide you through all the things and they set everything up. And and so with this label, it's me and my manager, and it's a lot of work more than you more than anyone can really handle. That's why I think it's good to have like big teams.
A good team around you, for sure.
We really wanted to keep this very very small and in-house, and I've done the major record deals before, and I think again with this album I just wanted to do everything differently. We had already recorded the record and had it. It was something that I owned, and I just really wanted to have full control over that.
Is this the first time you've had that amount of creative direction with your work?
I've always had it, but when you're with a label and when you have so many people on your team, you do need to, everyone needs to be happy with it. Everyone has their ideas, and of course everyone wants it to be successful, so you need to brainstorm, you know, what's going to allow that, and also something like where I need to be comfortable with like how much I'm doing, what stuff I'm doing. And so I think that's what's different this time. There's not as many cooks in the kitchen.
Right, exactly. Mm-hmm. Is there anything that has surprised you about releasing a record in this way that you maybe didn't know beforehand?
I don't know. I feel like it's all just been so different. You know, this record, it's a country album, being in Nashville after, you know, the pandemic, when every life is just different in all the ways, and then having this released, you know, recording it on my own, releasing it on my label, and having a small team, it's just been so different, but very fulfilling.
So, of course, we're talking about Colby's new record, Along the Way, and you have a really special song on that album, a duet with Sheryl Crow.
Yes.
So tell me about, number one, that's an outside cut. You didn't write that song, am I correct?
No, I did write
it.
I just wrote it a long time ago.
Okay, that's what it is.
Yeah.
So you went back into your catalog and pulled that. What was it about that song that made you say, this is the time to do it, and then how did Sheryl Crow come into the picture?
That song has been around for so long. I think like 14 years ago I wrote it with Brett James mm-hmm. in California. And then I recorded it, and then we didn't use that version for that album. Then the next album I did, we redid it with Babyface. Mm-hmm. Kind of tweaked some of the music and lyrics with him and Jason Reeves, and then we released that on my album Gypsy Heart. Mm-hmm. And I always wanted that to be a single, but it never entirely got the chance. Like, it was out there, and it has a lot of, you know, listeners with that, but we really wanted it to get another shot. And so I toured with Sheryl Crow many years ago, stayed friends with her. She's a neighbor here in Nashville, and I asked her if she would do a song with me on this new record, and she said yes, and so that's how she came into it. And we went back to the original way that I wrote the song with Brett back in the day.
That's really cool, and I love the music video for it.
Yeah.
It's really special.
Cool.
Talk a little bit about making that. I know you guys are in this set for Cars, and then you meet up at the end, so talk a little bit about making that video.
Well, we shot it here in Nashville, actually at my friend's ranch out in Dixon, Tennessee. And we used my friend's Bronco, and like all my girlfriends were in the video with us at the end. And
so these are really your friends.
Those are my friends. Cool. And you know, one of the girls in it too, she owns the ranch that we were at. And it was just very loving. Like, Sheryl's just such a sweet, wonderful woman, and very warm. And so it was a really fun day of getting to, you know, bring that song to life.
The other songs on the album, you were talking earlier about the fact that you haven't felt pressure to write with mm-hmm. this new living in Nashville and all this. Were these all songs that you sat down specifically and wrote for this project, or were they all songs, I mean, like this one you pulled from your past?
That was the only one pulled. Yeah.
Okay.
So I did feel pressure to write. I just didn't lean into that. Mm-hmm. I really just went with my gut and not wanting to not to feel that way, I think, this time around. And so anytime I had an idea, I would reach out to Liz Rose and AJ Pruis. I keep doing that. I like mix their names up. And I would tell them I have this idea, and I would go over to Liz's house and we'd write the song. And that's what we did. We wrote 15 songs and 13 are on the record.
That's amazing. Why country music now for you? I mean, I feel like you've always had that in your music. It's not like a complete shift. There's always been a country feel.
Yeah.
What is it about country music that made you say, I want to do this in this way?
You know, I wasn't raised on country music, and I really only got into country music when I moved to Nashville. I mean, I had been coming here writing, and I had done collaborations with country artists, and I loved those songs, but it wasn't like embedded in me like a lot of country artists. Mm-hmm. And when I moved here, and I just, everyone I hung out with, it was country music was on, and that's just like the lifestyle that I started living, and now that's majority of what I listen to. And I started thinking like, oh, I love the dobro, I love the steel guitar, and the steel guitar I'm used to from all the Hawaiian music I grew up listening to.
Yeah.
And then I was like, well, can I put these on my, like, why am I not allowed to put these on my songs? And then I just thought it was a very natural progression from the music I've released in the past to this record.
Who are some of the country artists that you love?
Oh, gosh. Morgan Wallen, Kenny Chesney. We saw George Strait recently. You know what's so cool about Nashville is there's concerts all the time. And somehow in L.A., I never went and saw shows.
Yeah.
And now we are going to concerts and seeing country music all the time. And it's just like I said again, this community where everyone gets together and has a great time. So I'm like super fan. Lainey Wilson.
There are so many great ones right now. Do you have a dream country music duet partner that you someday hope to collaborate with?
I do. I'm going to say Morgan Wallen. I'm going to say Cody Johnson, Chris Stapleton.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's hard actually to choose because I love so many of the male country artists, but I think it just has to be a right fit.
So you recently made your Grand Ole Opry debut.
Yes.
Talk about that experience. I mean, did you know what the Grand Ole Opry was and what it meant to country music prior to doing this?
Yes, prior to doing this, yes. But while being here in Nashville, yes. Before that, I really didn't know what it was. And my band, Gone West, we got to play the Opry.
Mm-hmm.
And then so for me this year or last year getting to have my solo debut, they're the most wonderful team to work with. You show up and there's like a parking sign for you, a parking spot, you get to keep it. I think I always explain this, like when you do big shows or TV performances, there's always a lot of stress. It's like you're in this time crunch and there's like a lot of anxiety with it. And the Opry is this well-oiled machine where they really just treat everyone in the room so kind and they're generous and it's very calm. So I've played there a few times and I look forward to it every time.
Well, another thing that you're getting ready to do is you're going to be performing at the C2C Festival.
Yes.
Over in Europe. Have you performed over there before?
Not for C2C, but yes, in Europe. At the beginning of my career, we were over there all the time, and so I'm so excited to go back. We're going to be in Germany, UK, and it's just this huge festival. We get to see all these amazing artists.
Do you see a difference in the fan base over there versus here? I mean, do you think they respond differently to music? Because what I've heard is that they are super fans over there.
Yeah?
Yeah, that's what I've been told.
I mean, yeah, I think that's so. It's what's so cool about getting to play in different countries is seeing how the fans are different and how they can, you know, like in Japan, like they're like a more quiet, polite audience. In Brazil, like they're just so passionate. And so I haven't played over there for a very long time, so I'm curious to see what they're going to be like and how they're going to resonate with my new music.
Can you give us a little like insight into what you're going to be doing? Are you going to be performing just new stuff? Are you going to be doing some of your older stuff as well?
Yeah, I'm doing all of it. So yeah, old songs, some new songs, depending on how long the sets are, maybe a fun cover or two, but definitely getting all the old songs in.
Do you still enjoy going, I mean, it's probably, how can you say no to this, but do you still enjoy doing those songs like Bubbly and all of your hits?
I really do. And it's so cool because, you know, as a songwriter, I wrote those songs about different things at a different age in my life, and I can absolutely relate to them now when I'm singing. Like I'll just have new meaning in whatever I'm experiencing in life now. So I feel like there's like a newness to them in a way where I can get re-inspired and excited to sing them. And I love when people sing along with me.
Yeah. And I mean, those songs were just gigantic. Everybody knows every single word. Do you still, I mean, you've had like the numbers are unbelievable. You've had like 15 billion streams of your music, multiple Grammy Awards, multi-platinum albums. First of all, does it still strike you as, oh my gosh, I can't believe this is my career when you hear those
those accolades? It does. It does, because it's just, I don't know. It's something I always said I wanted to do and be when I was a kid, and that's just rare when that gets to happen, I feel like.
Yeah.
And how it happened for me, too, because of everything falling into place, my friend putting my songs on MySpace and then getting a record deal. And it just happened so organically that it's just, it's really still hard to believe. And, you know, I'm much of a homebody. I like to stay in my own world a lot. And then I get reminded that people still listen to my music when I go out and about. And I love that.
Does it catch you off guard still when you hear your song, if you're walking through a store or something like that?
Yeah. And it's... Yeah. A lot of grocery stores and convenience stores. It's really funny, but I like it.
When you think back on your career, is there a moment that you felt like you had, I'm going to use the phrase made it, but achieved the success that you had hoped for?
Yes. I would think it was in maybe 2009. And I just feel like anyone I wanted to work with or was excited about, it was just happening, because I think it was the height of like bubbly at that time. And I love John Mayer. I got to tour with John Mayer. I got to tour with Sheryl Crow. I got to sing at the White House next to the president. Like, so many amazing things that I just couldn't believe it was just happening. Like, it didn't take a lot of work at that time. And that was surreal.
Well, I think you've always been an artist, from my perspective, who has been so real and true to yourself, and when you are and it organically happens like that, it probably feels a little more seamless, because you're being true to who you are. You're not trying to be anything else.
Yeah.
And that's how your music has always felt, you know.
Thank you.
Do you have something left on your bucket list that you still haven't done in your music career that you're hoping to do?
I love duets. I love collaborating with other artists, and I love singing with people. So I think just more of that this year. That's my plan, is to have some more collaborations and duets come out, and I think that's something that I'm really looking forward to and in the process of trying to gather who.
Yeah. Well, we've thrown a couple out there into the world that you mentioned, so we're going to manifest all of that into reality for you.
Thank you.
I want to do a couple rapid-fire questions with you, if that's okay.
I don't know how rapid I'll be, but
no, you don't have to be that rapid, but what is the best concert you have ever been to?
Chris Stapleton, maybe.
Really?
He's so good. His voice is amazing, and probably because I've seen him recently a couple times, but I'm just in awe. Yeah.
Who would be your dream co-write?
Morgan Wallen.
Okay. We're putting all this stuff out there.
Thank you.
Your favorite place to eat in Nashville?
I love Bar Taco. It's fun. It's good. It's just quick. And I don't know. So much variety. We eat there all the time.
Has there been a star that has left you completely starstruck when you met them for the first time?
Yeah. Jennifer Aniston. When I was on tour with John Mayer, and I got off stage from singing, and she was side stage, and she was complimenting me, and I think I just literally like excused myself from the conversation, because I was like, I can't do this. Like, you're from Friends.
Yes.
And, and I was like, why did I just leave? She was talking to me. Like, and I just like was like, okay, gotta go. But yeah.
Did you get a follow-up meeting? Like, have you seen her since?
I don't think that I have, but it was fine. Like, I think it was all fine, but afterwards I was like, why did you cut that short? Yeah.
The most nervous you've ever been performing?
Oh, I mean, I feel like I just have to say my first TV performance. I literally was crying before, like they say, like you're live, and was like wiping tears because I was just like so nervous to be on TV. So
what was? Can I ask?
I think it was the Today Show. Yeah, it was the Today Show in New York, and it was rough. Yeah.
Do you usually get nervous doing things like that? I mean, still?
Really? I still do, but I've learned how to not only just cope with it, but get excited for it and to calm myself down and try to, honestly, I think the anxiety of it, I just need to remind myself to relax and everything. But at the beginning, I had no control. I had no tools to work through that when you're live on television.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, to kind of tie all of this up, and we started this conversation off by talking about the women in country music and you being a mentor, are there a few things you wish you had have known when you first started out that you wish you either did differently or that you could pass along to another artist as some advice and pointers?
Yeah, I think it's so important to know who you are as a, and it's hard when you're young, no one really knows who they are. You're still figuring things out and experimenting. But I think if I had a better understanding and knew the importance of that going into it, I would have felt more confident. I would have felt more like I could lead my own way rather than, I just felt like I was just frantic and flustered all the time because I didn't really know what I was doing. It was so brand new for me. So I think if earlier on I had honed in all the tools and performed more, and I just feel like if you can master your craft in every way as a musician, as a performer, as a singer, working on the business side, you know, communicating with your team, like all of it is so important. Every single part of that you really have to be involved in. And so I think you learn it as you go, but if you can get ahead of that, then it's good.
Well, your new album Along the Way is out now.
Yes.
You are getting ready to perform at C2C, which will be fantastic.
Thank you.
And I cannot tell you how much I appreciate you being here and what an honor it is to have the chance to talk with you. I've been
a fan
for such a long time.
Thank you.
So thank you very
much. I really enjoyed this. I see you there. Are you coming? Are you gonna?
I'm gonna have to hold down the fort here. Half of our team will be over there.
Okay.
Managing the fort there. Well, I'm here, but that's okay.
Awesome.
I got the pre-interview with
yes.
you, and so that's truly what matters.
Well, thank you. I enjoyed it.
Thank you so much, Colby. So nice to see you.
You too.
The Country Line Songwriter Series with Colby Calais.
More episodes from this series are available on the Country Line app and website, or just search for the Country Line Songwriter Series wherever you normally get your podcasts.